announce it, so I'm going to record it. Resume the recording. This is ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement, 1730 Rosario.
Attention, we shall be starting in the next 2 minutes our meeting as the slides get uploaded. Thank you.
happy about the internet speed.
I guess I have it there. While waiting, just click them. Oh no, why am I trying? Sorry.
Oh, no, it's opening.
No, but not there. It shouldn't open there. No, no, save to.
Why can't I save it?
Attention, good evening to you all. It's 20 minutes to 6 o'clock. We are starting 10 minutes late, so we shall be moving slightly faster, but attentive to the dot. Yeah, welcome to the working group on outreach and engagement. And right now, we shall be presenting to you all the details that have been transpiring on all the previous occurrences, right? How we are seated here, the different co-chairs, who will also present the different reports. I'd like to hand over to Dave, the chairman of the working group. Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening, and good morning, good afternoon to any remote participants. My name is Devan Antilak Singh, chair of the Outreach and Engagement Subcommittee. And I would just like to... We do have a packed agenda, but we're going to condense it a little bit. I mean, we have a lot of slides, but we're probably what we would do in light of the 10 minutes we've already lost. Let's see if we could probably just do the very basic introduction of what we do. So what the Outreach and Engagement Subcommittee does is that it develops strategies to reach out to new potential members of the at-large community, which is outreach, and to engage new and existing members of the at-large community, which is engagement. So, and we want to do outreach and engagement in order to find new members, to retain the members, to continue to fulfill at-larges and ALAC roles in ICANN activities. So we've been reconstituted since ICANN 53, and we've been having a lot of work done in terms of engagement strategies and outreach strategies, and we'll probably hear updates from each of the videos on those strategies. I think I could probably just stop it right there, because we can go into a lot of slides and so forth, but I just want to think, let's just make it more of an interactive session. So I'll probably turn it back over to you, Daniel, to move on to the next item of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Dave, for that brief introduction. I'm looking forward to having like an interactive sessions on how everything has been transpiring. But before we go straight to the main interaction, I'm going to ask the different co-chairs to give a brief report on what has been transpiring during the outreach and engagement activities. Could you please move to the reports? Yeah. One thing about outreach and engagement is we started, it came up as a way to fulfill the at-large and ALAX role in ICANN activities. And the outreach and engagement subcommittee is right at the pivot of all these activities that are taking place. So how do the different ALSs come into existence? How do you come to get all of them involved? And through the getting to them, then we get them to be certified ALS structures. So anyone who is interested in reaching out to the persons to join the at-large working group, to join the ALS community, they're all welcome. Next slide, please. I'd like to request the members present that I shouldn't walk through all this because of time constraints, but all this information is just available on the working group site. So, next. Yeah, the working groups are distributed over the five different regions. That is the Eurola, that is the European Working Group, the North America Working Group, then Latin America Working Group, and then the AFRALO, and then the APNE, the Asia Pacific Working Group. And next. I think as a matter of time, could you please go straight to the reports? Next slide. Yeah. Next. Next. Yeah. Perfect. The different reports that have been taking place. I'll start by giving a brief report on what AFRALO has been doing under outreach and engagement. So in December, we had a representation at the AFRINIC meeting in Congo, and then also we've been working intensively in the outreach to universities that's in Morocco here, which of these activities will be taking place tomorrow to check how the AFRALO strategy, which involves reaching out to different universities, how it will go such that we can get feedback on how possible we can be able to engage university students. And that has been one of our engagement efforts. And still, AFRALO, to mention more about how it has engaged in the AFRINIC meeting, is that it was at the high-level consideration in the African numbering community, where Tijani presented on CRISP, and Ayana functions and ICANN accountability. And also the full sessions are going to be held with the different students from three universities, that is at the University of Kadi Ayad in Marrakech. So more on these activities are going to, you'll be seeing around students coming from the different universities here. And I think some of you have already engaged or seen quite a vast number of them. Yeah, and then there will be also an outreach which will be to the nearby university, respectively. Could you please go to the next slide? Yeah, I'll invite Olivier to give the report on. AFRALO report. Maureen.
Sernush?
I think Tijani has a question.
Thank you very much, Daniel, and thank you, Dev. Thank you, everyone. It's just to add that this NGO program is also a kind of outreach, also, because those people, we brought them here to make them aware of ICANN, of the environment of ICANN, what they can win from this experience, so that they will perhaps apply and they will likely apply to become ALSs. So it is also an effort of outreach. It is a continuous work, the outreach in our RALO.
Thank you very much, Tijani, for that. I hadn't mentioned about the involvement of the different AFRALO NGOs. Yeah, thank you. Would we have the report, the AFRALO report?
Yes, thank you, Siranush Vardanyan, for the record. As you may see on the slide, we have a couple of activities both for related to outreach efforts and also to engagement efforts. So we, in partnership with APAC Hub, we run series of webinars for ALSs in Asia Pacific, and till now we have conducted five webinars, and the plan is there for the whole 2016, and the next one will be in March, which for the first time we will do captioning, the piloting captioning of the webinar. Based on those webinars, together with Naralo, Maureen Hilliard and Glenn McKnight actually worked on the creation of e-books, which are really a great resource to be shared. In September, we run the first Armenian IGF, and we had the opportunity to have APRALO members visiting the first IGF in Armenia. In November, two our members, myself and Satish, had the chance to be at IGF, Global IGF, and present, run some workshops there, as well as staff supported us, we worked also all together to create new APRALO trifolds, which are in the process now of reprinting again, and hopefully next time we'll have the new ones, though some of those new brochures we have already used during APRALO participation in Apricot this year. I'll talk about this in a minute. So just recently we used our fiscal year 16 crop travel for participation of APRALO members in Apricot in New Zealand, which is one of the leading events in the region. And I would like to state here that we had, beside the support coming from CROP, we were really lucky to have support from all our three regional partners with whom APRALO has MOU, APTLD, APUNIC, and DotAsia. So all three of them supported APRALO members' participation, and we really did great outreach and engagement activities there. We submitted already a report on this participation. It's in our report wiki space, APRALO for February. And there are a couple of planned activities for the end of fiscal year 16, which is Asia-Pacific Regional IGF, and in partnership with APAC Hub, we will also have Satish and Maureen from APRALO to be presenters there from community point of view. Palestinian, we submitted a couple of fund request for fiscal year 17, which will be from July, as you know. And there are a couple, we had for the first time ever our LS is actively participating in this process and submitted three requests together with two other from APRALO leadership team. So we hope that those requests will be approved either through this budget process or through GSC activities. And we are also planning in October 16 participation in Dhaka, where we are planning to run a workshop there. But here I also would like to mention that in Apricot, for the first time for APRALO, the APRALO member, actually the ALAC member from APRALO, Maureen Hilliard, was selected to serve in DotAsia board, and she was selected to chairing APNIC 42 in Dhaka. So this is first time ever we had the request coming from partners. Yes, I would like you all to applaud this. This is great achievement in the sense of partnership with the regional organizations. As a result of our participation in Apricot, we just recently had the new application coming from Vanuatu, which is one of the Pacific Islands, this is real engagement process with that region as well. And we are expecting another one from Papua New Guinea. So we'll get another one. So we are trying to compile our outreach efforts together with engagement efforts. And we, during Apricot, we also had the opportunity to re-establish our relations with those who are based in Pacific Islands, the ALSs who are there and who had a little bit less active participation in our activities during the last couple of 1 or 2 years because due to some internet access issues, etc. So that was a great chance for us to reestablish again those activities and relations. Yes, and another planning, another big, huge plan we have in our mind is visiting new ALS, which is based in China, the ISC, related to the idea that this is not this is some kind of a unique ALS, so we would like to have another engagement activity with this ALS and involve our regional partners as well. So we are moving forward according to our strategy approved at the beginning of fiscal year 16, and now we already started to work with APAC Hub and GSC team on starting the planning of fiscal year 17 strategy. So that's all from AP Rallo. Thank you.
I think that's a very great report from Apralo. I think we should, they deserve a really great hand clap, especially. Thank you very much. And let's proceed and hear the Uralo report. Thank you.
Well, Olivier Crépin-Blanc speaking. So yeah, maybe, wait. Can we just change AP Rallo and put Urallo report? Yeah, and we've done exactly the same thing as as AP Rallo. No, one of the things is, arriving after AP Rallo is, of course, AP Rallo is the largest region. And Europe is not the largest region, but we've also got a lot of diversity in Europe, as you know.
Could you please put the next slide?
Perhaps we can have the next slide. I know we could not afford a slide, but we took a collection a bit earlier.
Look at that.
And we were very busy as well. Urallo has actually approached things in a slightly different way. As far as the crop funding is concerned, so the Community Regional Output Pilot Program, rather than sending our different representatives to various fora around Europe, which are sometimes attended by only a certain segment of the community. We have taken a very active role in being involved with EuroDIG, the European Dialogue in Internet Governance, and that's effectively the European Internet Governance Forum. It's not there's nothing official about having a local Internet Governance Forum, but it's widely recognized as being that. Urallo is actually a founder member of EuroDIG, and for this I must commend specifically Wolf Ludwig, my predecessor as chair of Urallo, who did all the groundwork for this, and the person sitting next to him, Sandra Hoferichter, who are very much involved with EuroDIG and have made this fantastic venue for stakeholders from all of Europe to come and meet once a year to discuss all issues. And for this, we've therefore used the CROP to actually find potential members for new at-large structures to come over to EuroDIG and not only sample a little bit of the ICANN discussions, because obviously all of the discussions and domain names, etc., are addressed at EuroDIG, but also the wider internet governance issues. And it's been a way to get people coming into the whole internet governance sphere to have a much better idea of what this is about. As I think I heard earlier, ICANN is not for everyone. Domain names, not exactly something that excites that many people, but those people that are interested in internet governance, and it's a big field, need to learn a lot more about what ICANN does. In Europe, we have the same problem as pretty much everywhere else. You ask people in the street, do you know about ICANN? Do you know about ICANN Urallo? and they'll be quite puzzled. And so it's, again, a lot of work needs to be done with that. So we've had five slots last year at the coming to Eurodig last year. I believe the year before as well. This year we're going to do the same thing as well. What we've done as far as engagement is concerned, and that's our existing at-large structures, is to create an at-large structure engagement task force. We have a it's not a problem, but you know, it's a challenge, I think, yeah, a challenge in the region, in that in Europe, the whole idea of participating in at-large and at-large structures, and we're seeing this across all sorts of volunteer organizations, people don't feel the incentive because there is no actual immediate threat to them. In many developing countries, it is seen as a first step to actually deal with ICT for development and so on. In Europe, it is not really seen as that, at least in Western Europe. In Eastern Europe, there is certainly an interest in that. And so having an ALS engagement task force is going to allow us to first learn a lot more about what our current at-large structures are interested in. There are some topics that resonate extremely well in Europe. Certainly issues of privacy, issues of freedom of speech, issues of human rights. These are very high in the European agenda, and that's, of course, stems back from history as well. So these we know about, but we also need to find out why some at-large structures don't engage in the ICANN processes as such. So they are there. They will, from time to time, say something, but we would like them to do more. We know that there are many issues in ICANN, that policy issues in ICANN, that deal with the exact topics that they're very much involved with. Maybe it's a question of language. We certainly know that the alphabet soup that we use at ICANN is something that gets people to turn off very quickly. But it could also be a whole number of other factors. So that's where we're working on this. And the task force has just started its work. So hopefully, by this time next year, we will be able to provide you with further details and with some results on the work that we've done. As far as forthcoming work is concerned, we have also filed a request, and it's not on the slide, but we've also filed a request to get funding to send some people to the ICANN Student Kreis, which is it's not a school. Let's say it's a venue where people can discuss internet, ICANN-related governance issues. It has had the participation of the ICANN CEO in the past few years. Senior staff, ICANN board members as well have participated. But strangely enough, Urallo has never managed to obtain funding to send end users to that. So we've seen this real concern of seeing, well, we've got industry people that are self-funding, and we've got board members, and we have the ICANN CEO. We have some segments of civil society that might be funded, but the end user was missing from the equation, and we hope that ICANN will see this with a positive eye and give a green light for end users to be represented at the table in those issues. That's it for Urallo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olivier, for that interesting report. Actually, I think I like that engagement task force. Yeah, how fast do you think you'll be able to have it running?
Well, I just gave it 1 year just now, so hopefully. No, it is running. We've made a call for a request for members, and there have been people that have put their names forward. We have created the mailing list. It's just a case of kicking it into action. And we've already got a good amount of knowledge and background that we have accumulated over the years in the history of Urallo. And I certainly will be working with Wolf Ludwig and others who are on the team to start the work imminently.
Thank you very much for that. I think I'll just put this as for discussion just after the presentation of the reports. Yeah, I think without wasting so much time on that issue, I think there's something interesting that we could be having from La Croix.
Well, actually, perhaps Nirala should go first, because I didn't get a chance to include any slides for Lakralo. So perhaps Nirala should go first, since I have their slide up. Okay. And then I can speak on the Lakralo one.
Okay. I think that's okay, fine. Could you move the slide next to...
Keeping you in suspense, Ollie. Hi, I'm Glenn McKnight, the chair of Norello. After watching Serenus's presentation, I have to slightly modify my presentation. But I gave the nuts and bolts up here, and I'll get to that in a second. But I think it's important to go back a little bit, as Serenus did, back a year before, and really draw upon Garth's leadership as the chair who actually I superseded in October, and Judith Hellerstein and I, and we've been working on a slightly different strategy. But Garth and Evan really looked at mostly outreach, and particularly they looked at areas that were underserved, areas that we didn't have the good representation. And some of those groups were the First Nations groups, and where we outreached to Loris Taylor, which actually has an organization that deals with all the radio stations throughout the states, and she works on broadband issues. And if some of you were in LA, she actually financed our showcase and had the Association of American Indians as one of the main speakers. But the other thing that Garth was quite seminal on is reaching out to a number of groups where people with disabilities were not represented at all within our radar. So we felt very strong that they needed to be part of our community, which he was very successful in doing that. But moving forward, one of the things we succeed, again, after the leadership of AP Rallo, is sign an MOU with our local RIR, which is Aaron. This year, I participated, as well as Evan, the previous meeting in San Francisco. Mine was in Montreal, where we actually maintained a relationship with Aaron, attended the sessions, participated in their policy process, and I think this is extremely important. And again, it's the leadership of AP Rallo that actually is driving the rest of the Rallos in the direction of trying to copy some of the things they've done. One of the main things of our use of crop is different than what you guys were doing in Europe, is we try to split it up as much as possible. So this year, again, staying with this outreach to groups with disabilities, we'll be at NTEN, which it has 3,900 organizations that attend. This is groups that focus on not-for-profits and their IT people, but again, a very strong element of with people with disabilities. And at that event, we tend to get interviewed by the Chronicle for Philanthropy, plus we're on local not-for-profit radio, and we usually hold a BOF or we do a session. So it's very important when you go to these events that actually you don't stay and just watch. You actually need to really be proactive and reach out. At that event, we try to sneak all our brochures and all the bags as well. So we're good marketers. One of our new ALSs, which is LaMarie Thompson with the Globetrotters, Washington Globetrotters. She's going to Vancouver for the Global Summit. M Enabling is a group that's focused on in Washington in June before the deadline date. The OAS is the Southern School of Internet Governance is being held in Washington. I believe myself and Alfredo Calderon will be down. It's not a crop funding for me, but I'll be attending it and covering that event with Olga. And that's a great event, very similar to the European School of Internet Governance that Wolfgang started in Germany. And the last one, Dr. John LaPrise from University of Chicago will be doing the Personal Democracy event in New York, I believe in June as well. So those are the trips that we're planning and how we're using our crop. And again, we're reaching out when we did our strategic plan, we thought, well, where are underserved areas, particularly in the United States and Canada, and we identified certain areas that we need to reach out to. Our territory includes 15 islands in the South Pacific, which has been impossible to get anyone, American Samoa and Gilbert Islands and elsewhere. It's way out of our time zone. It's really difficult to get them as part of us. It's something we need to deal with from a logistical point of view. They're definitely more appropriate to A.P. Rallo's area, but it's something we need to broach at some stage. One of the trips that we canceled was Aaron. It was out of region. It was in Jamaica. Despite the fact that it's something that we want to maintain a relationship, I may still go regardless, not crowdfunding, but it's something we'll need to discuss. The IGF USA was a really good event. I'm still volunteering, and Judith as well. It's out of our time zone, and that's a whole issue with crop. Is July and August events, and especially probably you guys in the South, that's probably a more appropriate time for you, but really stuff doesn't start kicking in till the fall. So I don't know how we're going to deal with that issue with events in July and August because it's the deadline for crop is end of June, and then they really don't start till the fall. Let me tell you about our engagement efforts. We have 33 ALSs. We contact personally each and every one of them, find out what their interest is, try to encourage them to come to our calls, and I believe our attendance on our calls are quite good now. We looked very critically at the voting records. We looked at the attendance records of each group, and we approached groups, and some of the groups said they did not want to stay within the family of Norello. For whatever reason. Some of them are out of business. Some of them, you know, don't want to be involved because of, you know, they have other priorities. So we've been very proactive going through to ALAC, providing documentation. We requested letters. We requested documentation from them why they want to leave so that we're going through the process of decertification of 7. On the good side, we have an incredibly good ALS that's now endorsed. It's the ISOC Washington, D.C., which means we have ISOC Quebec, ISOC Canada, ISOC New York, ISOC Washington, ISOC Colorado, ISOC San Francisco. There's a bit of a trend here. They're all part of ALSs with Canada, which is really good, because each of the chapters with ISOC actually can get funding for different events, which is what San Francisco recently did with their Internet of Things event, which we incredibly great opportunities we can leverage as well. So I think that's it for me.
Okay, that's a lot. It's not small work. There's a lot of work that is being done in the ground. These are really great guys here doing work. I'd like to inquire whether the presentation for Lacroix is ready.
No, it's not.
So let me invite Dave to give his report.
Yes, thank you. Dave and Antelaxing speaking. So unfortunately, I didn't get my chance because I arrived late to insert my slides into this. But given we're pressed for time, maybe it might be beneficial. But there's actually quite a lot to say on Lacroix's outreach and engagement efforts. So in fact, there's been quite a lot of large number of members from Lacroix in the outreach and engagement group. And what we've been doing is looking at how we can find persons in those countries without at-large structures. We look to identify those persons, and what we try to do is created a spreadsheet to try to track down in each country various persons that are interested in ICT, IG events or topics and so forth. And then once we've identified those persons, the next step will be to engage with those persons to invite them on for a series of conference calls. So that investigation phase is still going on. We've also been looking, detailing several outreach possible events in the LAC region, and we've had a call. We had a Lacroix call late February to discuss the various events, and we have identified at least three possible events. There's one event that is which is called CaribNOG, which is a meeting of Caribbean network operators. And typically, a lot of ICANN policy issues are discussed there. ICANN itself goes to that event and is one of the co-sponsors of that event. So, so what has happened is that Lakwalo has decided to file one crop application for that event. It's for the Desmond Quislin from an ALS in Haiti to attend that event, as that person has never. In order to make him a better engaged person in Lac Rallo. There's been other events identified, and we're discussing now as to what could happen for those events. In terms of also the capacity building and engagement, what's happening as part of the Lac strategy, the Latin American and Caribbean strategy that's been done for the region. There's been a number of capacity building sessions ranging on a variety of capacity building topics. And there's been at least, I don't have the number in front of me, but there's been several, almost every month, actually. And I think the last one was on the GeoRegions report, which is a policy issue that's currently out for comment. And is of great interest to Lac Rallo. Trying to think what else I could say. I would just say that also there's been a lot of discussion on the Lac Rallo. I think even on the Lac Rallo list today, even on how outreach and engagement should be approached. So I think one thing is that there's obviously a great interest in this topic, and it's what we probably have to do is now is to keep that discussion going, and so we can better have good outreach and engagement efforts. We have ELSs in 21 countries out of the 33 countries, so you know the gap is narrowing, and we are identifying new persons in those territories without at-large structures, persons that could be potential at-large candidates. We just have to bring them on board, and that's going to be a challenge. We're still doing the investigating stage, and so there's going to be a discussion later on in this session about engagement challenges, and we probably touch on that aspect. So I think that's a good summary of the Lac Rallo report.
I'd like to inquire about. Okay, yes, a few couple of questions. I'm sorry, I can't read.
Alberto Sota.
Alberto Sota. Yes, you could please go ahead.
I'm going to speak in Spanish. I am Alberto Sotto, chairman of Lac Rallo. As you know, there are some differences in the way we deal with this in Lac Rallo, and I'm going to try and highlight some things that have been mentioned. Especially, I am against the idea that the subcommittee should implement the policies because it's an internal issue for each Rallo. I mentioned this to ALAC, and ALAC has said this is not the right answer. So if there is a subcommittee that creates the plan, we don't create the plan in Lac Rallo. It was created by a subcommittee, and we were not asked about this. It was sort of similar to our project, and we said, okay, let's move forward with it. We have been working through the crop program with our early program, focusing our efforts on countries where we didn't have any ALSs, but especially with a spreadsheet where we had the internet penetration rate, and we focused on those countries where the penetration rate was the lowest. That's why we went to Haiti. These are countries where it's very tough to create an organization. It's not easy for them. We got there, we gave them some guidance, and in less than a year they had an ALS And a short time ago, they already got, they already had submitted their documents and had their bylaws authorized by the authorities. In the same trip, which we did under CROP, the ISOC chapter of the Dominican Republic was sort of asleep. They woke up, and it took them a little bit longer. I don't know why, but anyway, we also had ISOC Dominican Republic up and running. We want to go to the countries where there is nothing, because we believe it's the only way today with the CCNSO. I think there is a new interest. People are interested in working together, and we can do this because we have the same goals. Other events which we have organized in the Dominican Republic will celebrate the 10th anniversary of Lacralo. Originally, we were going to organize a Latin American forum, and I asked the organizers, a Colombian ALS and a Colombian university, to turn this, if it's the 10th anniversary of Lacralo, we shouldn't leave the Caribbean out. So it's a Latin American and Caribbean forum. I called for volunteers from the Caribbean and from the Dominican Republic and Haiti. We got volunteers, and we are trying to get volunteers from all the countries that are going to participate, from multiple stakeholders, so as to get as many volunteers as possible. And there is another event that will be held in Cuba. I think that somebody has already submitted an application. We arrived to Cuba through the CROP program. They had many more issues, and the current opening of the country is enabling them to get organized once again. We have already contacted the person. He or she has told us that they can already, told us that they can already start working, and in a few months, a year, we will have the first ALS in Cuba. From the technology standpoint, they are able to do so. In the past, it was impossible. To give an idea, I traveled to Cuba, and you had to pay $7 for Wi-Fi in a hotel. $7 for 1 hour of Wi-Fi in a hotel, and it wasn't working, so there was no way of communicating. But now the country has opened, and this is becoming easier. We also have a project in Uruguay to celebrate the 10th anniversary, and there is another one in April, but this will be part of next year's budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your remarks. Really very interesting. Without getting, as we all know that we are out of time, I would like to call on Ginger Quiz to give us remarks on the updates on ICANN's civil society engagement. Thank you.
Well, this is Dave. Just to give an introduction here. So ICANN has been working on a civil society engagement document, and two of the persons from ICANN staff that are currently in charge of implementing it, I would say, is Jean-Jacques Sahel from the European Global Stakeholder Engagement and Adam Peak from ICANN staff. So perhaps you can just give a brief update on the on ICANN civil society engagement.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques Sahel, ICANN, for the record. Thank you very much for having us here tonight. It's a pleasure to be back. I will try to keep it short. So, as you know, ICANN has got a mission to engage and to enhance participation and diversity in its work. And as part of that, it's not just geographic diversity, but it's also functional diversity. And so we have efforts to reach out to the business community, the technical community, the government community, but also the civil society communities under which we would see the sort of non-commercial, non-profit communities, the end-user communities, and academic communities. So as part of that work, as some of you will recall, we engaged with ALAC and CSG in particular, being some of the constituencies where these communities would find themselves. And we were asked to put together a draft approach. And this was discussed at a number of meetings from the Buenos Aires meeting onwards, and a draft was put together for comment on Google Docs, and we received a number of comments, including from many in this room and in the at-large community generally. And after further discussions and revisions, etc., by mid-December, we had a sort of a draft approach, sort of joint approach, community staff in place. We think it's going to remain a living document rather than something static, so it will evolve as we progress. But we've already run a number of events. Many of you have already been involved. I'm looking across the room, and I know many of you have been working with us across regions of the world and on the ground in interacting with civil society audiences, whether it's internet user communities or academic communities, NGO communities, reaching out, trying to raise awareness about ICANN, trying to explain its relevance and encourage participation in our work. So this is going to continue, and we hope to have more and more better coordination between each other, trying to find good synergies between the groups, the various groups involved. You know, for instance, you know, if Aralo is organizing an event, it'd be good to make NCUC and NPOC aware, because their members might be interested in it attending, and vice versa. In order to continue this work, we have launched what we hope will be a monthly call of people who are interested in this work. Plus, we hope that going forwards at all the ICANN meetings where we do have time for outreach activities, such as this meeting, we can have a working session. And so we have a working session planned for this Thursday from, I believe, 12:15. And actually, lunch is provided, I should mention that, where we hope to discuss... we hope to discuss... there's a couple of documents that have been circulated that I think are quite helpful. But there's a draft list of events, which is building on and taking into account some of the things that we've just seen, actually, in the slides here, but also bringing in some of the events that, for instance, NCUC is organizing or NPOC is organizing, or indeed some of the other wider conferences where those communities can be found. So, say, a big NGO conferences. Some of you will know, for instance, about RightsCon, which is a major annual conference that's taking place this year in Silicon Valley. So we hope to be there. There's a couple of sessions, actually, with an ICANN angle to it. So that's the sort of things that we'd like to work with you on in the future, trying to share ideas, you know, find synergies, how we can piggyback between the different communities in the different constituencies in addressing civil society groups out there. And then the other documents we'll be looking at is what Adam has worked on, which I think is very, very helpful. It's a compendium, a catalogue of all the content that has been developed by the civil society constituencies within ICANN. So whether it's both civil society, people within the at-large community, NPOC or NCUC, so it's quite a lengthy document. And there's a great, great amount of material that's already been produced by the communities. I think personally I found it great to have all this on a single piece of paper, so we know what's out there and we can push out that content. Hopefully we can post it or link to it better from the ICANN website eventually. So this is work in progress, and it's the very beginning. And what we hope to do at these working sessions and these working calls in the future is very much to just work with you, basically find the right cadence, the right rhythm, just help each other in getting great outreach, getting more people to join us in our work. So I hope that many of you will join us on Thursday and in subsequent calls. And I want to thank you all again for your input, because there have been some great inputs in the last few weeks and months. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jacques, for that great update. Yeah, one thing is that I realize is we're doing so much of outreach. We are reaching out to communities, and we seem to be getting there at the right pace. But at this point, I'd like to get to the members that are present. What could be the challenges that are encountered by the different ALSs that get involved? Because there is an issue of reaching out to potential ALS organizations. And then, after you've reached to them, they get certified in the ALS structures. And now here comes the challenge, engagement. Let's open up the discussion in case on what are the, some of these challenges, and this is the fourth agenda. I would like to also merge that in case you feel that there's an appropriate recommendation to the challenges, you could also state it such that we can see how best we can. Yeah, I would like to get Baran to give her insight. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. This is Baran for the record. I just wanted to throw in just a comment or two with regards to keeping ALSs or potential ALSs engaged. I think the first thing we need to do within our RALOs, which I think some of the RALOs have already done, is actually some sort of cleanup exercise to actually know which ALSs active, and then also the ones that are not active, to bring them to the table. And I think, as you stated earlier, AP RALO is doing quite a good job of that. And that's why I like this whole outreach and engagement group, because we actually get to know what is happening in the other regions and able to sort of pick the bits that work for us and make it happen in our relative regions. So I think this is something we need to look at internally, all the regions, and see what works for us and then use that and push it to the community. Thank you.
That's a great point. Is that specifically for one for a RALO, or it goes to all the different respective RALOs?
Biran, for record, yes. I think that's for all the RALOs, but it works differently depending on who the type of people you want to engage. So really, it you have to sort of see how you adapt it to the region that you're in. Thank you.
Thank you for that insight. Let's hear from Humba. Humberto.
Thank you very much. I speak in Spanish.
This is Humberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you very much for giving me the floor on this issue. As LAC RALO leaders, and I believe that this is the case for all RALOs, the idea is to try to incorporate to add new ALSs. But in practice, we see that even if it is true that we can go and organize events or even participate in those events, well, and also to contribute to promote ALSs to participate, well, there are certain barriers that have to do with, I'm talking specifically about LAC RALO, there are issues that have to do with language barriers. For example, in LAC RALO, we have three languages. This is Portuguese, English, and Spanish. But, for example, we do not have French for the participation of Caribbean ALSs that are French-speaking ALSs. So this is a barrier for them to participate, for them to engage. Put it in another way, we can have all the idea to make them participate, but we need the resources. I don't know the budget for this, but I believe this might mean significant costs that we need to take into account. And on the other hand, I would like to focus on what Alberto said before. There are connectivity issues. The connectivity development in terms of internet, even though it is a technical issue, in Latin America and the Caribbean, this is something which is not even in our region. It is the evolution is different. So in some countries, perhaps there are not, they don't have Skype access or the Adigo access. So this limits the ALS participation within the RALO. I'm only talking about our experience in Latin America and the Caribbean, but of course we have other countries that are well developed, and the more access to internet they have, the better remote participation we can get. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could you hear from Alberto?
Please keep your heads. I am confirming what Alberto has said. I asked for a public hearing for to deal with the issues Nicaragua and Haiti, and they have promised me to make the necessary efforts to take Adigo to both countries. In the meantime, and I will speak about the solution, because perhaps this might be useful for other countries. We will have a Skype account, a free Skype account, that must be used only for monthly meetings, for webinars, for ALAC meetings. So that Skype account will be free of charge, for example, for the ALAs in Haiti. Nicaragua has certain technical advantages, but of course, that would be the same case for Nicaragua. The other problem that we have in our region is that in some other places, the events that are being organized and events that we do not have information on time, so we cannot apply for the crop program. So we do not have the time to attend the time. So we are trying to promote participation. We are trying to promote and ask ALSs to add that information on the calendars that we have shared and the calendars that have been prepared for this subcommittee so that we can have information in advance. The other thing that I have requested is to reduce the time frame for the crop program. I know there are many other regions or countries in the region that have the same problem. Thank you.
Thank you much. You mentioned about the crop calendar. I think every RALO has a calendar that is that has different activities. So it's the duty of the chair of the RALO to update the respective activities and also to make sure that the respective participants apply in time. According to the crop guidelines, it takes approximately eight weeks before to the event that a request submitted gets approved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless otherwise you're having some challenges in administering the calendar. Yeah, and was that... Alberto, you had something to say. Is that a reaction or something? No. Okay, let's proceed to Maureen to give her highlights.
Yes.
Oh, okay, fine. Let's see.
Sorry. Sí, nuestro co-chair.
This is Alberto Soto. Our co-chair is Deb. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm the last person in the queue. I'm asking. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, everyone. I just wanted to sort of like, you know, looking at engagement challenges, I think that one within AP RALO, for example, one of the things that we sort of like have felt has been really, really important was our strategic plan. And we developed that from a survey that we did of our ALSs to actually sort of like discover from them what their issues were, what their interests were. And so that what we've done when we've actually looked at what activities we will run within the within our region have actually sort of like been related to, you know, have incorporated those sorts of interests. And so the strategic plan has been really, really important. But also what's been important is our relationships that we've built within the region, not only with our MOU partners, as Sirinush mentioned, APNIC, APTLD, and .Asia, but also with establishing and strengthening the ties that we actually have with our ICANN partners, that's with GSE and with our APAC hub, with whom we also continue to develop webinars and other activities that will hopefully engage and will continue to engage our ALSs. We hope to get those sorts of things on stream and to use them to reinforce the contacts that we have with our ALSs and make it a little bit easier to engage with them. I think, too, one of the things that came out of our last meeting with the CCTLD community, one of the things that we had wanted to do was to build reinforce the relationships we could build between ALSs and CCTLDs to actually sort of like understand for each of the for ALSs to understand, you know, how their CCTLD works, and similarly to get the CCTLD to be working with the ALS and developing a relationship in that way. But also it sort of like basically becomes a partnership. I mean, the CCTLD is usually the one that's making the money, and the NGOs, like, you know, need that support to build up that greater understanding within the wider community about ICANN and ICANN-related activities relating to the CCTLD plus the ALS itself. So if we can encourage that a little bit more too, we'll work on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Our interpreters are really doing a great job, but we have to appreciate the fact that they're really humans. I'm going to take just two remarks, and then we shall be winding up this meeting. Then we shall push it to more discussion on the mailing list. Let's hear from Judith, then Humberto.
Yes, this is Judith Hellestein for the record. I also wanted to comment on what Alberto and Humberto had talked about the challenges, and that is one of the things that we looked about when we put in a special budget request for the captioning. We had gotten some requests about our goal was increasing engagement. How do we increase engagement? Looking at it from an accessibility level, looking at it from people with limited and low bandwidth, and looking at how do we increase engagement for people whose native language is not English. And so this year we have a pilot, but we're restricted to English only. But for fiscal year 17, we put in a special budget request to extend the pilot and also to add two additional languages, French and Spanish. Because we have gotten, even though we had explained that it was only in English, we still got several requests for Spanish to show how much need there was for it. And so we are hoping that the board will grant our special request and that we can expand it. And then what it is in Haiti, they could have a separate stream, so they won't be on the Adobe Connect. They can get just a stream of the text. And so that should work better with people with lower bandwidth. They can just have the text stream and what's going on. So in places where Fadigo's not working, they can still participate and become active. And that's our goal.
Thank you very much, Judith. Let's hear from Humberto.
Thank you very much. I'm going to speak in Spanish. I'm going to abuse of the interpreters now.
Humberto Carrasco speaking. I just wanted to make a point of clarification. I wanted to speak about the 8 weeks for the crop program. Unfortunately, the Latin American culture, I am referring to the southern part of Latin America. Well, we tend to organize events before the 8 weeks window, but the advertising of these events comes after these 8 weeks. So we have a cultural problem there. And I see, and I say this out of experience because I work at that university. You start talking about the event. This does not apply in Europe or in the U.S., because we can promote events perhaps 6 months in advance, because nobody will enroll in that event. But in Latin America, you need to promote events or advertise events 2 months before. 2 months is 8 weeks. That is what Alberto was saying. We have a cultural problem there. So what is the solution that I see as the LACRALO leader? Well, I need to promote promote the organization to promote participation in ICANN events for these events to be contained within the CROP program. But this implies an extra effort. I have already talked about this with Alberto, and this is a practical problem that we have. I know that the correct thing would be to organize everything with enough time, but unfortunately, our reality is not that. Thank you.
Question: what do you consider to be the correct time?
Yo agregaría por.
I would, Humberto speaking, I would say 4 weeks more. Another month. That would be a reasonable period of time.
Very much. I'll at least table that for as an action point, such that we could discuss more on the timing about that. If there is no any other remarks, I would like to adjourn the meeting. And in case you have any issues, please share them on the mailing list. You'll always get a response. Oh, one quick one.
I'd like to acknowledge our chair. Daniel's done a fantastic job. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We can now adjourn the meeting. And I would like to thank our interpreters for keeping it up to this day.
There's free wine if anybody wants it. That's it. Same place where you guys were.
I have free wine.
It's the same garden. It's the fellows. They let me go in because I got a camera.
Yeah, I know that.
So you have a special passport.